all of you on this lovely June afternoon, although it feels a little bit more like April or maybe September, but that's okay. Given the way it's been the last couple of days, I think you're going to find it'll be a very pleasant afternoon out here along the Chicago River, the beautiful Chicago River. But you know, as we look at it right here, it's not so grand as rivers go, huh? It's not really very wide.
We're about to take off on the
Chicago architectural cruise. And I'm going to tell you a little bit later Chicago that it's not deep
architectural
at all. But the fact that the Chicago River is here, and that just a few blocks to the east behind you, it meets up with Lake Michigan, really has everything to do with why Chicago ended up here. Now, if you'd come through here, 400 years ago, would not even have looked like this. It would have been a very narrow little stream.
She's a volunteer, this woman. She's got a great voice, doesn't she?
Its way toward Lake Michigan. The banks of that stream were very marshy. We have marshy soil here. The banks, on that bank grew a weed that smelled terribly evidently, like garlic. Tasted a bit like onion. The local peoples here, native peoples, called that weed Chicago. In fact, they called the whole area Chicago because there was so much of that weed here. And it's not hard to see that through the 1670s,
we haven't left dock
French
yet.
Speakers started to come through here, that Chicago became Chicago. So, welcome to
the... I'm just down in the bar. Just testing the audio quality down here. Obviously in a much better place out front.
Over their heads for a short while, they hook up with another river that we now know as the Chicago River. And when they did this, Marquette and Joliet are like, wow, here's our trade route. All we need is a canal to make that portage unnecessary, and we'll have a direct route to the Mississippi. Well, it wasn't until 1848 that that canal was in operation, and just by coincidence, that's the same year the railroad came to town, and all of a sudden, Chicago was off and running as a major transportation hub. You know, to the west of us, the prairies were coming corn and wheat, cattle and pigs to be processed and sent on to the population centers of the east. And we were then sending things back via rail and by boat all over the U.S., helping to build out this country that was growing so fast in the 19th century. And during that time, Chicago had to build a lot of buildings here along the river. And that's what we're here to talk about, is buildings. But we're going to go forward into the 21st century. Our first building we're going to talk about is right in front of the boat. It's slightly blue, has a white spire on top, and says Trump on the side because, in fact, it is the Trump International Hotel and Tower.
Oh, dear, I'm wondering if
from
I should cut off now.
2009, designed by Skidmore, Owings & Merrill. I'm going to talk about the construction method and the materials on the way back, but talking a little bit about the style now, you know, we don't even have a name for the style of this kind of building because it's what we're doing now. It have to be some form of contemporary. But realize it's very contextual. It has a lot to say about this part of Chicago. Each one of those darkened bands honor an important historic building nearby. The lowest one that says Trump is about at the same cornice height as the building next to it with the clock tower on the right-hand side. That's the Wrigley Building from 1921 with an addition about 3 years later. Now, it was designed by Graham Anderson Probst and White for William Wrigley of chewing gum fame, right? The house that Gum built. The style here is a lively Spanish Renaissance. Here in the 21st century, there wasn't in wide use a strictly American style in terms of the ornament on a building. So we're taking our cues from the old world. In fact, if you've been to the Giralda Tower in Sevilla, Spain, you would see that this tower is in fact modeled after that. The building is covered, the facade is covered in baked earth, terracotta. That was like the miracle material of
terracotta,
this time.
Right.
You know, it was lightweight, could be very decorative. It was fire resistant, and almost the best part of it was that it used material we have here in abundance, which is clay. Now, as the captain brings us out into the river, I want you to look forward. You'll see a bridge. says the DuSable Bridge. It goes over.
The boat is pulling out into
over the river.
The river, which is green, by the way.
It's one of 23 trunnion bascule bridges will go under today. Now, bascule is the French word for teeter-totter, and that's because each one of these bridges that are quite low have enormous counterweights on either end of them that you can't see. It's below the river level. And when those counterweights are lowered further into the ground, the center portions of these bridges draw up. And this allows, this is a, sort of a ritual we go through here in the spring and in the fall, as tall-masted sailboats come in and out of dry dock, going out to Lake Michigan for the summer sailing season. So typically Wednesdays and Saturdays early in the spring, and then again in the fall we allow this to happen. It's really quite something to see, for sure. This particular bridge is actually named for our first non-native resident here in Chicago. Now, on the left-hand side of the riverbank, you'll see a building that has a little round temple on top, what we call a belvedere. This is the London House Hotel. Opened up
okay.
as a hotel
I'm stop
a couple
recording.
Of weeks ago. Originally, though, the building was completed
do a bit of
in
listening.
1923,
do a little
designed
bit more recording
by Alfred Altshuler. The style here is what we call Beaux-Arts style, neoclassical, really based on a Greek temple. That's because L'École de Beaux-Arts in Paris
back to you
was
later.
Teaching many engineers